Our next speaker, who was also the first speaker for the day, Lukas Nussbaum, is up again, and he's going to talk to us about the Debian-Ubuntu relationship. Now, this is not going to be a showdown, and this is not going to be a war. This is actually about collaboration. Am I right?
Yes.
Well, I hope so.
Well, it's the last talk, so anybody, you know, we can stay longer at the end if you want to fight. Okay, Lukas. Actually, is it 30 yet? Just making sure that people have enough time. Oh, we have one more minute. Oh, no.
Good call.
Can we just have all the Ubuntu people on this side and all the Debian? I'm just kidding. All right, let's go. Lukas.
Okay, so obviously one of the important questions is why I'm qualified, I think, to give this talk. Or before I start, can you raise your hand if you are an Ubuntu developer? Okay. Okay, no, if you are employed by Canonical. Okay. And if you are a Debian developer? Okay, so a slight majority. Okay, so I will try hard not to be a troll during this presentation. I have been a Debian developer since 2006, an Ubuntu developer since 2006 as well. That means that I predate Launchpad. I think, no, maybe not. Well, yeah, okay, I was involved before Launchpad existed, but I became Ubuntu after it was introduced. I've been involved in improving collaboration between both projects for a long time. I developed multi-distro tools, which was used in the beginning of the Motu era, the Ubuntu user tag on the BTS. I've done various proposed various improvements to the merge process. I've done the Ubuntu box on the PTS and the Ubuntu colon DDPO. So clearly, I've done some work on that. I've attended both DevConf and UDS, so I have a good view of how the development works on both sides. And I have friends in both communities, and I would prefer not to make enemies today. So, sorry?
Maybe tomorrow?
I'm not identific. I will go to the launchpad. So, what's in this talk? So first, I will describe the Ubuntu development process, because probably most of you are unfamiliar with the details, and especially how it relates to Debian and to Debian development. I will talk about some truth and do some myth-busting about Ubuntu and Debian. And then, which will be probably the most questionable part of the presentation, a discussion of the current state of affairs between Debian and Ubuntu. So to start with, what do Linux distributions do? Usually they steal software from upstreams, put it nicely together, and then get all the fame. So the important part is there. There's a lot of work going on in Linux distributions about standardization, integration, quality assurance, providing unified support interface, etc. Ubuntu has one special upstream to steal from, Debian. So the basic scheme is like that. So there are upstream projects, Debian, which packages software, and Ubuntu, which takes software directly from upstream, and Debian packages to provide packages to the user. Seen a bit differently, there are upstream projects, Debian. So packages that are created directly from upstream projects, packages that are created directly from the Debian packages without any change, and some packages which are modified before being introduced in Ubuntu. So the question is, what are the proportions for this, this, and this? So, who was there this morning? Okay. Whoa, low success rating. So, this morning I talked about Ultimate Debian Database, which is a project we have inside Debian, which is to gather all kinds of interesting data about Debian in a single SQL database so we can run data mining on this. And we import data about Ubuntu. So it's data about packages, bugs, and popularity contest. So it's a perfect tool to investigate Ubuntu and Debian relationships. So let's look at some numbers about Ubuntu Karmic. So that's the latest release of Ubuntu. So this table gives the number of source packages, not binary packages, excluding Ubuntu-specific packages. So I excluded those ones, which are introduced by Ubuntu. If you look at this, so you have a total of 2,000 packages in main, 12,000 in universe, for a total of about 15,000 packages. Of those packages, there are, on average, 7% of the packages which are not in Debian, 18% that are changed while being introduced to, by while imported to Ubuntu, and 74% of the packages that are unchanged from Debian. Well, I only have two columns because I put the main, the restricted number into main universe and multiverse and universe for those who want to nitpick on the details. So that gives this. So as you can see, most, well, three quarters of the packages in Ubuntu are imported unmodified from Debian. Of course, most of the most important packages are probably not there, but either there or there. There was, whoops, 4% of the packages there are newer upstream releases. They can either be based on the Debian package or be total repackaging on the Ubuntu side. There's no way to tell based on the information I have. So let's look at those upstream releases, because that's really what that's really the value added by Ubuntu. And when you look at the names, well, probably those were a bit too far, won't be able to read. But if you pick some packages, you see a lot of GNOME stuff, some KDE stuff. So that's So that's main. If you look at universe, there's no real logic there. Well, still some GNOME stuff. But in universe, it seems that the choice of which... So does everybody know the difference between main and universe? Does someone not know the difference between main and universe? Okay, so main are the packages that are officially supported by Canonical, or by the Ubuntu community at large, probably. I'm not sure of the exact definition of main, but... Main is supported, universe is only supported by the community. Yeah, so it's canonical.
What are you comparing against here? Are you comparing against the package in any Debian release? So when you say...
Okay, so that's by looking at the version number of the package. So you can see if it was...
Are you comparing against SID?
No. Is there... So if there's a package in Debian version 1.1.1,
if you say in Debian, which Debian version?
Okay, I'm coming to that. When Ubuntu will import that version in Debian, in Ubuntu, if they make a change to the package, they will version it with Ubuntu 1 at the end.
Sure.
So if that's this suffix, then the package was modified at import time. Now, if Ubuntu introduces a new upstream release, they have a policy of versioning it like that.
Okay, so you're simply looking at the format of the version number.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
there is a reasonably large amount of packages in Ubuntu which don't obey that rule, where they are entirely separately packaged from Debian without the Ubuntu postfix on there. We just blacklist so we don't.
Okay, but the policy is to do that. I'm surprised that. Okay. Okay, so. Okay. You don't know that.
Things like UDEV, for example, don't have Ubuntu version.
UDEV?
Sorry?
UDEV?
UDEV does not have Ubuntu
second version
okay.
of the device completely
separately packaged between UDEVs. Yeah, but UDEVs wouldn't show up in this because it's different.
No, UDEV.
UDEV?
Yes.
Yeah.
Not UDEV,
okay. Okay. I'm surprised by that. I thought that you were following that policy for all packages. Okay. So we're probably, where is my pointer? Wait. Probably that number is a bit too high then. Oh yeah, thanks. That number is probably a bit too high and too, yeah. In reality, it's probably a bit lower and this one is a bit higher. So if you look at packages in universe, so which are not officially supported by Canonical, then there's it's a bit more random. It looks like probably, well, universe develop, well, community developers in Ubuntu uploaded their pet packages, but there's no real logic in those packages. Yeah, because someone, yeah. Okay, yeah. Well, that's the same.
Right.
Either because that's their pet packages or someone else's pet package. So if you compare the packages, the version number in Karmic and Squeeze, you see that most of the packages in Squeeze have been, most of the packages in Ubuntu are no longer newer than in Squeeze, which means that for those wondering whether which is the most recent, where is the most recent software, Squeeze is not too far behind, actually. So I've talked about packages. Now let's look at bugs, because there's two main ways to collaborate, two main points on which we can collaborate. There's packages and bugs. So when finding a bug, Ubuntu users have the choice. They can file the bug upstream, but usually they get flamed when they do that because often upstream developers don't like users filing bugs directly to them. Most of them have a policy of not liking that. Whether they are Ubuntu users or Debian users, no, there's no distinction about that. They can file the bug in Debian and they are very likely to get flamed in that case. And third choice is to file the bug in Launchpad. And in that case, unfortunately, they are very likely to get ignored. The problem is there are many Ubuntu users, so many bug reports, and clearly not enough Ubuntu developers for bug triaging and squashing. Again, this depends on the kind of packages that you are looking at. If you look at main packages, you are much more likely to have an Ubuntu developer looking at the bug. But even for some main packages, it's not the case. And also, one main difference between Ubuntu and Debian is that in Debian, each maintainer is usually an expert of his package, while in Ubuntu, most maintainers are generalists, and they try to, they care for a lot of packages. They might not be experts in those packages, so it takes longer to fix bugs, to fix hard bugs at least. So why should we collaborate on bugs a lot more than what we are currently doing? So there are packages which don't receive enough bugs in Debian and Ubuntu, especially niche packages that are only interesting for a few experts, usually have very few bug reports. And they still have bugs, but some users just don't file bug reports. So the more bug reports we get, the more problems we are able to fix. There are more users of Ubuntu than Debian. I don't think that we can question that. So there are more opportunities to run into bugs in Ubuntu than in Debian. Also, there are slightly different environments in Ubuntu and Debian. For example, there's often a newer toolchain or newer X server, even if it's not the case currently, I think. So we are likely to run into the same issue later. A few months later in Debian. So bugs filed in Ubuntu about those problems are very interesting for us. And finally, solving bugs means improving free software, and that's what really matters in the end, I think. So what's currently done about bug reports today? Some bugs get filed by Ubuntu developer in the Debian BTS. So they are tagged origin Ubuntu and Ubuntu patch. I looked at the number, and there are about 400 bugs filed like that per Ubuntu release cycle, which is well, some, that's not zero, but that's not much either. There are mostly bugs that report difference between the Ubuntu package and the Debian package, so that those changes can be upstreamed to Debian, and then they don't have to track the difference anymore. There's also an Ubuntu box on the PTS. So that's this box. So that's the page that the Debian developer uses to get an overview of the status of his package. So it gathers the information about everything a Debian developer should know about this package. So on that page, there's a box about Ubuntu with the current version Ubuntu, a patch if the package is modified in Ubuntu, and the number of open bugs. So as Jonathan said before, currently this data is imported using a fragile hack, which basically turns down to using wget to get all the bugs as a text output. So 80,000 HTTP requests per day to get that data.
So it's your fault it goes
by slow. Yeah. Well, I was asked to, because I use my script is threaded, it's a bit more complex than that, and I can turn down the number of threads to improve the situation, but yes.
Have you tried to use Launchpad lib for that?
Yeah, it's worse. Because the problem with, the good point about the text interface is that it does, one big SQL query to get all the data optimized for that use case. With Launchpad lib, I would do at least one HTTP request for the bug and one per task. So a lot more HTTP requests. Also, this data doesn't include private bugs, which is not completely surprising. But there are lots of private bugs which are generated using Apport. So it's a tool that, I think it's Apport, the tool that pops up when an application crashes. Those bugs would be interesting for Debian developers even without the Apport attachment. At least we would know that the application crashes. So there's a lot of improvement possible in that area. So I'm going to talk a bit about how I see the current situation between Debian and Ubuntu. So that is based on my perception, which I hope is quite fair. Your mileage may vary. So first, feelings on the Debian side. So historically, So historically, many DDs were, DD is Debian developer, were unhappy about Ubuntu, especially in the start of Ubuntu. There was this feeling of being a bit stolen of what they did. For a long time, there were public claims of giving back to Debian, which were not really, which were difficult to back with reality. And there are some problems with some Canonical employees, which tend to give a bad image of Canonical as a whole. When something doesn't work, when someone has problems with a specific Ubuntu developer, usually, they see it as global, as a global willingness of Ubuntu to behave badly or something like that. So I think that even if it's clearly not perfect, things have improved considerably. Most DDs currently see good points in Ubuntu. First, it brings Ubuntu brings a lot of new Linux users, and there are also Debian derivatives users. So we can probably think that they are using Debian some way. Ubuntu provides something that just works for their friends or parents, so they don't have to maintain that Debian box anymore. Or almost just works, but enough for the purpose of this. It also brings new developers to Debian. We have had majority of the new Debian developers come from the Ubuntu community, which is really, they are usually really good. And Ubuntu also serves as a technological playground to test new feature, and then when they spend two years in Ubuntu and they work perfectly well, we can import it nearly for free in Debian. So that worked for Dash as /bin/sh. It's currently under work for debug packages, I think, for Upstart, I think, as well. And for GCC flags to improve the security in case of exploits, in case of bugs in the code. On the Ubuntu side, there's a culture of contributing back to Debian. That's really seen as the right thing to do. Many Ubuntu developers contribute to Debian. There are also many Ubuntu developers who don't contribute to Debian. However, often on the packaging level, purely in packaging level, there's often not a lot to contribute back, either because the important packages are completely forked in Ubuntu, so there's nothing to share except if the Debian maintainer wanted to take everything back from Ubuntu. And many of the other fixes are just workarounds. For example, if there's a package that fails to build because of a test suite failure, then just disable the test suite. There are lots of packages that patch like that just because we need to build the package for the next release, and that's the simplest way to fix the problem. Also, there's a common, I think that's something that's often causes problem when thinking about Ubuntu from the Debian side, is that Canonical is a company. Some people in the Debian community are not really used to deal with companies, and Canonical only contributes when in the end it benefits them, and that's expected for a company. But we can't expect many free gifts to Debian. It can happen, like last year during DebConf, they put a nice banner on their website because Debian was 15 years old, and they showed it. They put it on the front page of on their website. But I can't really think of many other examples of just free gifts. Finally, some challenges and questions to start a discussion, I hope. So since 2004, Debian has lost relevance by losing a large number of its users to Ubuntu. It has also gained a lot of relevance by becoming the basis of a major distribution, which means that Deb package format is no longer something that is useless. Lots of people use Deb. Improving collaboration between Debian and Ubuntu benefits both distributions and the free software ecosystem as a whole. And some questions. So I think that the key problem for the future of Debian, well, Debian will always exist probably because it's a volunteer project, so there's no way it's going to die because, well, it will go bankrupt or something like that. But the real problem is, where will innovations happen? When I was in UDS, I was really impressed by the way Ubuntu is organized to innovate. Debian clearly has a lot of problems to bring innovations in the distribution. And there's a lot of backshedding on the Debian main list. That can be very discouraging. Second question, will Debian be more than a package supermarket? That's basically what it is for Ubuntu. It's just a place where you can go and pick up packages. Will Debian stay a distribution? I mean, for many users, or will it just be the place where you get your package? And finally, there's a problem in Ubuntu, I think. When I talk to Ubuntu users, there are some packages which are not in main, so not supported officially by Canonical, and we don't have someone that really cares about them. So if someone goes by and sees a bug, it might be fixed. But there are a lot of packages in Ubuntu releases which have serious problems just because it was picked up from Debian at the wrong time. So you got the wrong version, the one uploaded 2 days later, but after the import freeze has the fix, and then nobody notices until the Ubuntu release is released and all users complain. Yeah, that's also the fact that pre-release of Ubuntu are probably less used than Debian testing. So, or the problem is found too late in the release process. But that happened several times to package I care for in Debian. And
there's also this slight bias that Debian developers inherently care about their packages.
Yeah. Yeah, but
they see this as a problem for the users, but if the Ubuntu users haven't noticed and haven't found the bug, and the Debian developer doesn't find the bug in Ubuntu, then Ubuntu never knows that it's not the package.
Yeah, but then you have the problem that Ubuntu pre-release, users of Ubuntu pre-release don't use all packages. For example, you won't use probably an Ubuntu pre-release on a critical database server, so you wouldn't find a bug on an obscure hypothetical database server. Testing, maybe. Well, I think that more people use Debian testing on critical machines than Ubuntu pre-release. Well, okay. So, something I forgot to say there is that probably historically Debian was also a really hard project to work with because we, with all the flames from Debian to Ubuntu, so it was probably really hard for Ubuntu people to start collaborating with Debian. And really, it probably felt really risky. So just to finish, I have a late Christmas wish list. So first, it would be great if from the Ubuntu side there were more technical discussion between Ubuntu and Debian, because often we have the top management saying that they give back to Debian. We have individual developers forwarding patches to Debian. But there's not much discussion going on the big technical changes that are done in Ubuntu, and that could interest Debian. If they were more discussed in Debian before, if they were implemented in Ubuntu, it would probably help getting them accepted later. Doesn't mean waiting for approval from Debian to do the change in Ubuntu, just discussion or information. Second point is easier access to data from Launchpad. So Launchpad looks great. The problem is the data lock-in. And from the Debian point of view, we don't want to fork Launchpad. We don't want to use Launchpad because we are our own infrastructure. And basically what we would need is an easier way to get data about Ubuntu so we can integrate it into our infrastructure. Like the Ubuntu box and the PTS that I showed later earlier.
Do you follow a bug about accessing the data?
Yeah, sure. 18 months ago. So the problem is known. So yeah. No. Sorry?
As discussed earlier, the API does a whole bunch of requests.
Yeah.
It's not performed for the kind of mass exporting yeah. that they do on a regular basis.
I know that you don't speak for all of Debian, but is there any chance of Debian ever using Launchpad as a bug tracker?
No.
Repeat the question, please.
Oh. Well,
I will repeat the question. All right. Is there any chance of Debian ever using Launchpad? I guess that's the question. So, and Lucas, your answer is?
Well, I don't think so. I don't know what you think, but
I'm a little bit hesitant to say yes on that at all. I mean, the lock-in is a problem that Debian has successfully solved in the last couple of, like, I'd say 3-4 years, to the point where now all of our infrastructure is independent. If you don't include firmware and all that kind of stuff in that, but we basically host everything ourselves, and that means we are in complete control over that. And I guess the fear is that if we don't have access to the database, if we don't have like the you know raw dump of the data, and we can't pick up the pieces in case you know Canonical goes down tomorrow, however unlikely that might be. But we are Debian, and that means we can be idealistic about certain things. And I guess that's one of them, that the infrastructure just is 100% owned by Debian only. And therefore, Launchpad, as it is right now, unlikely. If it makes sense to have a second Launchpad instance and not you know, not be antisocial, as was it was called earlier, because the two instances actually communicate with each other, then possibly. But on the other hand, it's unlikely. Well, I don't know. There's a lot of web interface stuff going on with Launchpad, and I know a lot of Debian developers who will, you know, rather die in a fire than touch a web browser, a graphical one.
Well,
and just talk to them about Bugzilla. Now, I understand Bugzilla has other UI problems than Launchpad might, or you guys have probably solved it in a much better way. But the choice issue is, you know, is there. And at the moment, Launchpad just seems very much focused on BZR and one backtracking system, and this is your workflow, and there's not really a choice. So it's unlikely at the moment.
If I could respond to that, we do provide an email interface,
yeah.
And we provide an API, which means that you can build command line interfaces if even the email interface doesn't do what you want.
Yeah, the response to that was that there is now an email interface and there is an API, so actually, like, this sort of UI criticism that I just brought forward doesn't really hold anymore. That's a fair point, and it's going to take a little bit of time for people to understand that this exists. And I guess one of the things,
yeah.
The email interface, 4 years.
Yeah, but
all right, fight.
So yeah, but the one from the Debian BTS was there from the start. So that's, I don't know when the BTS was created, but probably late 90s.
When Ian Jackson got there, he was wrong, right? Someone gave him
Pearl. And also, the other problem is, I don't see Debian outsourcing its IT interface to infrastructure to Ubuntu. So even if we hypothetically we were going to use Launchpad, it would probably be our own instance and not Canonical's one, so it would be the same problem.
The talks about, you know, having the bug tracking system reworked for Debian, they have been ongoing, and there are a lot of issues with Debian's bug tracker to the point where we have to do manually what the computer should be doing, like implementing workflows and all that kind of stuff. And at some point in time, we will probably have to use something more towards project management, and Launchpad seems to go in that direction. But I don't see it happening yet. But ask me again, or ask Lucas again in 3 years. Maybe things have changed by then.
I consider a small. Oh, I'm sorry.
If you have a direct response to that, then
yeah,
maybe.
I was just going to say that Debian bug tracker is a barrier to me as an Ubuntu developer to pushing bugs upstream, because it's such a pain in the ass to work with sometimes.
And I'd say it's so damn easy, you know. And this is exactly the problem. Well, there's a question back there at the wall.
Sorry, Eric, in the back. What I've been noticing, because I've been kind of playing with this in different ways from the user, and I work with What we've been finding is there's a lot of this same problem going on and on and on. And this kind of goes all the way back to it again, but why don't we just all get together and really look at this? Because how hard would it be to have a separate Launchpad installation? It is an open source project. You can go and configure it, set it up, and then, you know, have the Debian and the Ubuntu developers actually get together and create a way of linking them together. So you guys have your own completely separate infrastructure with something that'll do everything you guys really need to be doing, which will allow linkages to actually work. Because without that, I mean, sooner or later, Debian's going to get to a point where it's unsustainable because it's already starting to shrink. And there's nothing that I can really see that can be done about that. But if we can kind of get a collaboration going between Ubuntu and Debian in that sort of way, it'll be best for both in the long run.
To summarize that, before, if you want to respond, to summarize that, your suggestion, I guess, is that we should put more time into making Launchpad, like, distribute it, and then have our own infrastructure and be able to work with the Ubuntu people using Launchpad. And you suggest that because Debian is on the decline if we don't do that.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Well, I'm surprised that the only way from Dustin's talk, I agree that Launchpad is a wonderful tool to collaborate, to improve collaboration between projects, but it's limited to improving collaboration between projects hosted on Launchpad, mostly. Well, yeah, it's about getting data elsewhere and putting it into Launchpad.
And vice versa.
And vice versa.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Provided, of course, that you want. Like,
okay.
Like, not actually everyone wants all of the bugs in a file against Ubuntu. In fact, most Ubuntu developers don't want all the bugs.
Yeah, but I think that there's a lot more value in the projects that try to improve tools, to collaborate, improve collaboration between different kind of bug trackers, etc., than to asking Debian to switch to Launchpad. And there are projects working on that, on unified format for bug reports, etc. Because there's also a lot of Bugzilla instance. And if you want to improve collaboration between projects, it would be great to include Bugzilla in the same work. So the discussion shouldn't be on that, should be on getting Launchpad to be a better interface to the outside world, I think. Debian is not perfect, but with UDD, you can get a lot of data about Debian already.
There is a Bugzilla plugin that can provide two-way communication with Launchpad.
Yeah, okay, but then you take track?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, shit. Redmine?
Well, I don't really want to turn this into a Launchpad discussion. One thing maybe that I can say as sort of like final thing to Launchpad, you have a whole day tomorrow. Debian has always been about choice, and we don't have an instance that says let's use Launchpad as of tomorrow. So any evangelism that arrives with Lucas and myself now is basically going nowhere because we can't do it. If Launchpad gets to the point where it is a viable choice and you get the critical mass, then you know that's it. But that's the only way to do things in Debian. So, are there any other comments or questions about the relationship between our two projects?
There are lots of small relationships that are really what make large-scale adoption of new tools, very difficult to get done. You know, getting person A and person B working well together on one package, very doable. And you know, that kind of more grassroots effort is, I think, much more effective.
Let me just summarize what Matt just said, that basically the single relationship that Lucas had in his title is of sort of virtual entity that doesn't really exist, because the relationship is made up out of thousands of little relationships over packages and friendships and so on and so forth, and we can do more work on that. And that's essentially the grassroots sort of effort that we need to put more work into, because we can't just say work better together just like that. Are there any other points, questions? Flames? None? I have one question to the gentleman at the back who said that Debian is declining. Where did you get the is this seriously the impression? Is this what the impression is? I don't have any numbers to disclaim this.
Yeah.
Wait, not everyone at once. Oh my God. The users?
There's a slide earlier. I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
The slide said Debian's users are in decline. I'm pretty sure it was in his presentation.
Well, yeah, okay, yeah, it was. Sorry.
at least
the market share of Debian is declining. I'm not sure if the number of users is declining.
Okay.
I'd like to know where the stat comes from, because whenever Debian asks me for feedback on the news, I'd like to know.
Okay,
can.
One way to compare the number of users of Debian and Ubuntu is to look at PopCon submissions, which is a service used to gather information about popularity of packages.
But he just said that basically he always refuses to do that. So
I do 500 installs in a month.
Yeah. Okay, but
add 500 to your numbers, quick.
Probably you have someone else in the Ubuntu community doing the same thing. So in average, it gives a way to compare, and there are about 10 times more PopCon reports on the Ubuntu side than the Debian side.
So
but
if you give me some feedback.
Yeah, okay, but that's purely, yeah, that's the best we have, so.
Well, and I guess if I believe what Mark Shuttleworth says about Debian and Ubuntu, then if Debian were in the decline, then you guys should probably expend some man force to prevent that from happening, because you need us, right? There was a question back there. All right. Anything else? This turned out to be so much more well-behaved than I thought. Okay, well, if... Yeah, you guys just want to hold it up until you have a beer in your hand and you can smack each other. Well, then, you know, let's do that. Thanks for your attention. Thanks for coming to... Thanks for coming to the Distro Summit. And thanks also to all the speakers who came, Lucas twice, and all the others, if you're still here. Thanks for coming. You didn't get funded for this, but you showed up anyway, and I think you delivered a great day. So see you next year. Have fun tonight, and now go smack each other.